Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all our beloved listeners here on Radio Islam International. You are tuning in to Youth Talk with me, Bibi Aisha, and it's also simulcast on Sirius FM. Right now, I know there are lots and lots of students still busy with their exams. Some may have completed, some are in the middle of exams, some are still starting. And when it comes to exam period, not only is it a very stressful and anxious period for students, but it's also a very stressful and anxious period for parents. And when it comes to sitting down and studying, we all know that with that anxiety and that stress, there also comes irregular eating habits, which is not very advisable because obviously eating unhealthy food during the exam period or at any time can hamper concentration, can make anxiety even a bigger problem. And generally, you know, you want to be in the perfect frame of mind when you are writing exams. So today we're talking about healthy eating during the exam period, and my guest is Lila Brook, who is a registered dietitian and nutritional consultant based in Illovo and Morningside in Johannesburg. Lila has written several articles about good nutrition in over 250 general and health-related publications. She presents lectures regularly on health-related topics countrywide and appears regularly on television and radio. Lila, good morning and welcome to Radio Islam International.
Hi, Bibi. Thank you so much for having me today.
It's only a pleasure. Now, Lila, you know when it comes to exams, whether it's final year exams, mid-year exams, any exam, the anxiety levels rise, the stress levels rise, mums and dads are all freaked out, and it's like this utter period of chaos.
Without a doubt,
yes. And then also when it comes to studying, we know there's lack of sleep, lack of concentration, and lots of binging. And binging on whatever we can find. Skipping meals, skipping breakfast, energy drinks, and everything that you are going to tell us that we as educators, parents, and students are doing wrong when it comes to our nutrition.
Yes, sure. I can definitely help you.
Okay, importance of healthy eating habits for young children and teenagers. Please tell us why this is so important right now.
So, firstly, obviously, from the point of view of growth and development, it's extremely important in terms of physical growth. But, of course, looking at brain growth and brain health, that is obviously a huge concern, especially during exam time. But then also from the point of view of boosting the immune system, it's so important because obviously if a child doesn't get the nutrients they need, they're much more prone to infection, which we don't want any time of year, but especially not during exam time. So it certainly is, from every single aspect, nutrition is so, so important.
Most definitely. And then also when it comes to, you know, binging or, you know, these late night snacks, and sometimes, you know, mum and dad obviously want, you know, their children to be comfortable, relaxed in a nice study area.
Yes,
but we keep feeding them. We keep like, did you eat? Come, let's have this. Let me get you some drinks. Let me get you some snacks. Why is eating too much carbs no good, especially for our youth?
Well, I think that eating too much is never too good. You know, regardless of whether it's carbs or protein or fat, you don't want to eat in excess.
Yes.
I don't think that carbs are necessarily bad. I think it's about the quantity that one has.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly during exam times, it's so important to get a balance of all the nutrients, to get a balance of the carbs and the protein and the fat. So you don't want a situation where you having, for example, no carbs, or you having only carbs, or only protein, or whatever it may be. Really, all those nutrients really play an important role. So carbohydrates are important for energy, and specifically glucose, which is the main source of energy for the brain.
Mm-hmm.
So if we deprive the child of carbohydrates, that can also be counterproductive to their studying. And by the same token, protein helps with satiety, it helps with various hormone and enzyme function, so we need it from that point of view. And fat is very important as well from the point of view of insulating the organs, but also helps with satiety as well, and provides those essential fatty acids that the brain also needs to function.
Mm-hmm.
So really, we need the balance of everything.
Yeah, most definitely, most definitely. And then again, how does eating junk food, you know, hamper concentration and add to students' stress and anxiety? You know, this is something I think we really, really need to touch on, because like we say, when it comes to students, whether they're very young, whether they're in high school, or even varsity students, you know, when you're stressing and you're hungry, you just tend to put whatever is around in your mouth. So please.
Yes. Well, if assuming that child is eating not great choices, there's a strong, I don't want to say junk food, but all food can have a role, but if they're eating obviously foods that are not ideal on a regular basis, they're more likely to be deprived of those essential nutrients, and therefore potential deficiencies can result.
Yes, and then again, also obviously, if you're eating, you know, foods that's very sweet, like chocolates and sweets, you're like hyped up, you've got this extra energy. It's probably 2 in the morning, you're writing an exam at 8:30, you know, in the morning, and you haven't had sleep.
Yes, of course. And I think a big, big factor, and I'm sure that's something that we will also touch on later, but I think a big factor is eating out of procrastination, which I think a lot of kids will do. They go like, ugh, I don't feel like doing this, I'm going to go have a snack.
Yes.
You know, that sort of thing. And that, although, I mean, other than the issue of the sort of excess calories or the excess nutrients that they don't need, the problem also comes down to the fact that the child isn't necessarily listening to their body. They're overriding their natural hunger cues and eating for reasons other than hunger, which obviously is something that we want to try to limit or avoid.
And then to the mummies and daddies that also, you know, keep on bringing the snacks. Shame, are you hungry? Come eat this. Did you eat this already? Never mind, have another slab of this. What would you like to say to them? I mean, I think, you know, obviously parents want their children to be comfortable. They feel that, you know, this is their way of supporting their child during the exam by feeding them.
Yeah.
Done out of love. It really is done out of love.
Of course. I think there are other ways for parents to support their kids without having to go the food route. For example, such things as making sure that their chair is comfortable and supportive, and maybe bringing them water instead of food, and helping them with their studying in terms of quizzing them if they need that, or helping them get extra past papers. But, you know, there are other ways to do it. I don't think that has to be done with food. Obviously, it is the parent's responsibility to make sure that there is healthy food available. But I don't think one needs to keep on feeding the kids to keep them concentrated.
Most definitely. Okay, now, Laila, you know, something that, you know, a lot of students do, and sometimes adults do this as well, you know, when we're stressed and we're faced with some challenge, like now we're going to be talking about students, so they're faced with this challenge of writing their exams, and, you know, they're cramming sometimes in the morning, like we said, you know, maybe late nights, just they didn't have enough hours of sleep, they're getting ready to go to school or to varsity, and they skip breakfast. Now, how bad is that? I mean, how important is eating breakfast?
Breakfast is so important on so many levels. You know, I was just reading an article a little bit earlier, which was saying that how important breakfast is to prevent weight problems in children. You know, that we all know that breakfast is the most important meal of the day, et cetera, et cetera. But the thing is that eating a healthy breakfast really sets the foundation for the rest of the day, which is so, so important. In addition to that, if you eat healthily, and you're having a good breakfast, it is often the best source of fiber, best source of vitamins and minerals.
Hello? I think we've just lost Laila there for a bit. I think my engineer is just going to get back to her. Okay, there we go. We're back on. Sorry, Laila, could you please repeat that? I think we just had a bit of break in there.
Yes, I pressed the mute button on
it.
No problem. It's the best source. So breakfast really provides fiber, vitamins, and minerals. It really does sort of help to sort of manage every aspect of nutrition if you have a healthy breakfast and you start off your day that way.
Mm-hmm.
That is so, so important. If, however, you have a situation where you start off the day, obviously, with stuff that isn't that healthy, then you're not going to be getting that. But assuming it's a balanced breakfast where it gives a source of high fiber starch, a source of fresh fruit, a source of dairy, it can really help to start off the day in a really balanced way.
Okay, maybe you could give us an example of, you know, like a recommended breakfast. Because remember, it's also, you know, there's time limitation in the morning.
Yes, of course.
The students are a bit stressed. Obviously, the parents are stressed. And, you know, you just want to make sure that your child has that mental boost.
Without a doubt. I think that is definitely the most important aspect of the meal, to make sure that it is easy. Because, I mean, if you're going to now start preparing major, you know, detailed meals, it's not practical. So easy, quick things. So I don't know if you've ever heard of those little egg muffin type things where you basically bake like a little mini frittata in a muffin tin that can freeze quite easily, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, what ends up happening is that if you You can put whatever you want in there. You want to put a cheese, vegetables, that in itself can make like a nice little meal. Mm-hmm. You can have another piece of toast. And then also you can do like a high fiber cereal with milk and a fruit. You can do also say things like, for example, like toast with cheese or cottage cheese. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that gives you the nutrition you need to give you strength for the day.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Now I need to ask you something else. You know, again, when it comes to studying, because of maybe time constraints, stress, anxiety, like we said, you know, there's very different students. Some they prepare way in advance, others they cram the night before, whatever your studying style is. Mm. But sometimes students are guilty of skipping meals. Again, just aside from breakfast, skipping meals. How bad is that, again, overall for mental alertness and concentration when it's an exam?
Well, the problem when you skip meals is that your blood glucose levels are going to drop quite dramatically, and that's going to be a problem. As I said earlier, your brain needs glucose to function. And certainly, if you aren't eating correctly and you aren't having that balance in your blood sugar, there's a much greater chance your concentration will be affected. In addition, you'll probably get too hungry, make bad choices when you do eat, and then mess up the whole cycle even more so. So, yes, it is so important to not skip meals, especially during exam time.
All right. What are your views on energy drinks? You know, something else again, Okay, now we're going to tell our listeners, you're going to share with our listeners, again, that sugar rush. And, you know, sometimes they're like, you know, I'm very tired, I'm very stressed. We're not going to mention brand names, but I'm going to take this particular can. I'm going to give this, and it's going to give me that woomah that I need for the day.
Yes.
Yet they don't realize that, you know what, you are just making your life so much more difficult by taking this drink.
Yes. No, those energy drinks, I mean, firstly, the amount of caffeine in them, I think, is very bad. I mean, obviously, varsity students can maybe get away with a little bit more caffeine, but certainly high school students, or definitely our primary school students, should be having anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So the amount of caffeine in them is a huge quantity, plus the amount of sugar. I wouldn't recommend that. You know, I think that a student or a school child is a much better chance of improving their concentration and sustaining their concentration if they're having a healthy, balanced diet. But then, as I mentioned, blood sugar levels are more stable. It's not necessary to go that route.
Okay, and then when it comes to tea and coffee as well, you know, your views on giving tea and coffee to primary school children and high school children, again.
Do people do that? I hope not.
Unfortunately, they do.
Wait, coffee, really?
Yes, unfortunately, they do. I'm an educator, so, you know, sometimes the learners that you interact with will tell you what they have for breakfast. Obviously, my eyes pop out like, you had coffee?
Yes,
I had coffee, or I had a cup of tea. So, again, you know, why is that so bad?
Caffeine. I'm not a big fan of caffeine at best of times, but for small children, really, it's not a good idea. You know, that it's... You know, also what we have to bear in mind is everyone has different tolerances to caffeine, or to anything, but to caffeine especially. And there's a genetic component to it, how well your body can respond to caffeine.
Hmm.
For some people, they can drink a cup of coffee and it has virtually no effect. And for some people, it affects them dramatically. I know I'm one of those people that I break down caffeine very slowly, so it affects me very dramatically. So I won't sleep. And you don't know how your child will respond. You don't know if they're one of those people that can cope with caffeine or not. So if you have excessive amounts of caffeine, it can be a huge, huge problem.
So an alternative to that would be like warm milk, you know, warm milk with something, you know, obviously to give them, you know, something nutritious to drink in the morning and also late at night. Okay.
Definitely, that it's much better to stick to like warm milk, even with a little bit, I'm not saying all the time, but a little bit of hot chocolate or rooibos tea. Or another herbal tea would be a much better option.
It also has lots of calming, you know, effect on it as well for very stressed students. Okay, Lila, also the other thing I was going to ask you is, right, like we said, after the break we'll be talking about meal plans that you'll be sharing with us, healthy snack options and anything else that you'd like to advise, you know, our listeners on. But you, I mean, yourself, as a parent, you know, you're a mum, right?
Mm.
And, you know, when you're doing your talks and you're doing motivational talks and you're speaking to parents, when it comes to good nutrition, you know, it's the good habits that we inculcate in children from a very young age that is very, very important. So whether it's exams or whatever it is, you know that they're eating healthy and making the right food choices.
Mm, Yes. You know, I think it can be very challenging when one's trying to change a child's eating habits. And, you know, what I usually recommend to parents is to try the best thing you can really do is set a good example. You know, and when it comes to eating healthy for exams, your child is mirroring how you eat during stress when you say stressed at work or stressed with something else at home. So if your child sees you downing liters of coffee and eating chocolate all day to cope with something at work, that's what they're going to pick up on. So the most important thing is to really mirror those good behaviors, and that is really essential. But then if you are generally a family where you eat balanced meals and that healthy eating is something that's part of your life, automatically it makes it much more easier, much more practical.
Mm-hmm. And obviously with younger children, even if, you know, my suggestion would be that if you're making a certain choice of a meal, you know, explaining to your child that why the veg is good for you or this fruit or this nut, you know, is also, you know, helping with their general knowledge, but then later their lives is benefiting them. You know, I think we need to get out of that. Do I need to eat broccoli? And if I don't, then I don't get dessert. You know, they don't realize that broccoli ain't that bad.
Yes, exactly. And also, I'm always hesitant with rewarding with food. You know, that whole kind of like, well, if you eat this, then you get that.
Yes.
Or if you do well in your test, you'll get a nice snack, because it sets that reward and punishment cycles. I've been good, I get food. I've been bad, I don't. And that is something that sets one up, obviously, for a lifetime of bad relationships with food. So I'm always hesitant to that. Rather reward with a toy or an outing somewhere or whatever it may be, but not
with food. No, most definitely not with food.
Okay. Yes.
And, you know, like we said, you know, obviously when children mirror, you know, their parents' eating habits also.
Yes.
You know, obviously, like we said, during the exam time, parents just want to make everything easy and comfortable for their children because they're stressed as well.
Of course.
They're obviously stressed as well. So again, you know, when it comes to snacking options, like we said, after the break, we're going to be discussing that at length. And something that you would just like to add on when it comes to, you know, to younger children, you know, it's like a child is very, very anxious. A child that could be maybe suffering from ADHD, or maybe someone that is just generally very anxious when it comes to an exam. What would be advisable to feed such a child?
I don't think that an anxious child needs to be fed differently to a non-anxious child. Mm-hmm. I think that it's more important just, you know, obviously to get that balance in the eating applies regardless of whether the child is anxious or not. Mm-hmm. But I think it's so important to remove the focus away from food. So not to go like, oh, shame, I know you're feeling stressed about exams, have more chocolate, have another sweet. You know, not to create that link, that emotional link with food, to go like, okay, well, you're feeling stressed, let's sort of medicate with food, which I think is a very easy thing to do.
Mm.
Like, you just want to make your child happy and use whatever route it takes to calm them down. But as a result, you may land up causing more problems in that respect. Now your child will feel that every time they need to write an exam or they're feeling stressed, they just need to turn to food.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, an anxious child or a non-anxious child, either way, they should be having a balanced diet. And definitely an anxious child should not be giving caffeine.
Most definitely, because that anxiety is just going to skyrocket. Most definitely. So advice to parents also, I mean, you as an anxious parent, while your child is writing an exam, you're obviously stressing and hoping, you know, they're doing well, especially when it comes to certain subjects. Mummies, daddies, don't grab that chocolate.
No.
Don't grab that chocolate. Don't have that coffee. Just sit and believe that your child will be doing well and have faith in their ability.
Yes. And as I said, like, rather focus on helping the child with their studying themselves than kind of trying to, like, create this ideal environment for them to study in. Because, but obviously, all children study differently and have different techniques and different strengths and different abilities. But if you have a child, for example, that struggles to study on their own, concentrate in that sort of traditional studying format, rather help them to manage different ways for them to study that helps them to understand the material better, rather than feeding them.
Okay, I think we have a bit of a problem with the connection here again. We're just going to work it out.
Sorry,
not a problem. Okay, I think we can hear you now. We're going to be breaking for an ad shortly. And when we return after the ad break, we're going to be, Lila's going to be sharing some interesting snack options that adults and children can use, especially young children as well. And also some healthy meal plans. If you have any questions for Lila regarding nutrition for your children, if you're a mum of a child who is diabetic, if there's particular diet that your child needs to follow and you're not too certain about, please feel free to call us on 011-854-1548 and we will return shortly, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You're back on to Youth Talk with me, Bibi Aisha Leher, on Radio Islam International and Simulcast on Sirius FM. Today we're talking about healthy eating during the exam period with my guest Lila Brooke, who is a very well-known, popular, registered dietitian and nutritional consultant. Now, just before the break, we were speaking about how comfort food is not exactly the answer to calming your child's nerves before an exam, how bad it is to skip meals, and how bad it is to skip breakfast. Now, also to parents that are listening in, I know during the exam time, you are stressed, your children are stressed. You know, we all have that covered in the kitchen or maybe in the lounge where we have all these snacks prepared and, you know, the cookie jar. I think now would be a good idea, after speaking to our expert here, lock it up. Keep it up. Keep it locked up. Open it up for a treat later, but, you know, rewarding your children with caffeinated drinks and rewarding your children with sweets and cookies is not helping them at all. In fact, it's actually going to be hampering their concentration, further causing anxiety and making the exam period a very stressful one, believe it or not. So feeding your child and stuffing your child during the exam time is actually not helping at all. It's not helping you either. So, Lila, let's go back to what we were talking about. We spoke about, obviously, you know, not rewarding children with food and eating balanced nutritional meals for young children as well as children in primary school and even varsity students. Okay, now, Lila, what about the diabetic student? You know, obviously their diets are different, and then come exams, it's normal. You know, you can be prepared fully for your exam, but it's normal to be nervous, to be a bit anxious.
Of course.
Advice to the diabetic student and to their parents?
So, if we're talking about a type 1 diabetic, which I assume would most likely be the case, what is important is that stress, and illness as well, but stress can increase blood sugar levels. So the issue is that if someone is a type 1 diabetic, they have to be extra careful about managing their blood sugar levels. Also, they have to obviously, you know, they might need to have a snack or a meal at a time that's during the exam. So they would have to obviously speak to the school just to make sure, or the university, to make sure that they are given permission to eat during that time. But it does require a lot more sort of closer blood sugar monitoring than it would usually be.
When the child is older, he or she would know that. When the child's younger, then, you know, like you said, you know, the educator needs to be advised about that.
Yes. But I think even in the case of a university, because, you know, like when you're busy writing an exam, it's very easy to be kind of engrossed in what you're doing and actually forget. I think it's just important to, you know, I don't know, to allow the students to set an alarm on their phone or something like that, to say they need to eat or whatever.
Yeah, whatever they do, so to make sure that, you know, the student is performing well, most definitely. You know, to our listeners, please, you know, if you have any questions regarding nutrition for your children, please do call us on 011-854-1548, and Lila will be more than happy to answer your questions. Now, Lila, you know, a very touchy subject, but something that we have to deal with. We're talking about also, again, you know, stressful eating. Only stressful eating, I'll say eating when you're stressed. And on the one hand, we have the overweight child, and on the other hand, we have the underweight child.
Yes, yes, yes. And sometimes that happens, you know, there can be an underweight child and an overweight child in one family, which can also be challenging. And so I fully ascribe to the concept of division of responsibility. It's a sort of a concept when it comes to feeding children that was developed by a dietitian called Ellen Satter in the States about 30 years ago. And it's basically, the concept is that your responsibility as a parent is basically three P's. Your responsibility is to purchase, prepare, and provide the food. So in other words, your responsibility is to make sure that, obviously, healthy food is made and available in the house. Your responsibility is not necessarily to serve the child. Now, I'm not talking about a one-year-old.
Yes,
I'm talking about a child like age about four now. That it is better to put the food in front of the child and let them eat what they want, how much they want, etc., than to go, okay, well, you're looking a bit chubby, let's give you less food, and you need more, so let's give you more food, or you've eaten too much, stop, or you've eaten too little, keep going. You know, we don't want to over-monitor that aspect of eating, and it can be a struggle, definitely, on both sides. Like, if you're worried your child's underweight and you feel they're not eating enough, you just want them to eat more, or you're worried they're overweight and you think they're eating too much. But the thing is that what we must bear in mind is that children are born with an innate ability to be able to actually listen to their bodies much more than we as adults are. It's something that we override as adults, and we've kind of ignored after many years of dieting, whatever it may be. We are not necessarily as in tune with our bodies, actually, as kids are. So it's not to say that kids can't eat emotionally or eat when they're not hungry, but we have to actually trust kids, which is hard. I struggle with my own kids as well. They eat healthy and what I want them to eat, when I want them to eat. It's not easy. I'm not saying it's simple. Mm-hmm. But it's important to try as much as possible to allow them to learn how much food they need. And the only way we can do that is to actually give them that opportunity to adjust their quantities of food. Also on that point, and this is something that I've also, as I said, struggled with my own kids, and I've gone back and forth about the best way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to snacks or eating in general during the day, there are three possibilities really of how one could do it. One could either go, okay, eat whatever you want, whenever you want, and hope that that will allow the child to kind of get an idea of what they want to eat or how much they should eat. One could go, okay, eat whatever you want, whenever you want, but only of these select foods. So go, okay, well, there's healthy snacks in the cupboard. These are the ones you can have as much as you want, whenever you want. Or the other option, third option, is to impose some sort of structure on the day whereby at those various times that you can eat as much as they want of what's provided, but between those meals, then they mustn't have extra stuff. I've gone...
That one is easier said than done.
They all are easier said than done.
It's true. Yeah. That is true.
Yeah.
Because somehow children always find their way into that cookie jar.
Exactly. And, you know, like, so as I said, I've also been trying to get my kids eating as good as possible, and it's a struggle. They are sweets at every opportunity. They go to a party, there's a sweet. They go to ballet, there's a sweet. They go to swimming, they get a sweet. Like, every opportunity, there's some sugar that's provided at a friend's house, etc. So that's a struggle. But I think a big factor is it depends on the child. So if you have a child that naturally isn't that into sweets, or in general, like, isn't that involved in food, then it doesn't really matter that much. But I feel that in general, as a general rule, it is a good idea to try and structure meals, because the problem is that, and I know it with my own kids, that if you allow them free rein to just eat whatever they want, whenever they want, when it comes to a meal, they're not going to eat. And the problem is that generally the main meals are going to be the ones that are the most nutritional.
Yeah.
And now because they're filled up on other stuff, even if it's healthy snacks, they're still unlikely to get that much protein, for example, or that much vitamins and minerals in general if they have filled up on even something like rice cakes, for example.
Yes, yes.
Like. So I think it is important to try and structure the kids' day. It's not easy. And I, as I said, from experience, I know it's not easy, but in an ideal world, in a magical world, the ideal would be that your kid eats about every 2.5 to 3 hours. That would be the ideal, if one could manage that.
If they could manage, okay.
Yeah.
For our high school students that are listening in, you know, again, we know the obvious for healthy snack options would be fruits and vegetables, maybe some nuts.
Yeah.
Anything else that you could, you know, you could add on? You know, there's a lot of variety on how these snacks can be prepared. It's not just that boring, you know, you look at the green apple and like, do I need to eat this? Because after a while, the green apple also loses its appeal.
Yes, 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 of course. So obviously fresh fruit is the obvious one, as you say. I also like, you know, like often like vegetables aren't really going to be eaten on their own, but you have it with a dip, like guacamole or like a hummus type dip.
Mm-hmm.
It sort of makes the kids much more likely to eat it regardless of age. Also, obviously now it's hot, but in cooler weather during June exams, vegetable soup is great.
Yes.
It's filling, it's warm, it's, you know, they can have it sort of any time of day, just go heat it up, so it's easy. It doesn't require any preparation if it's already been made. And then also, like crackers with cheese or cottage cheese. I also often make sort of like healthy muffins that have they actually are like 50% pumpkin or butternut. And then they also have yogurt in them and very little sugar because the sweetness comes from the butternut or the pumpkin.
Yes.
Well, whether or not my kids eat them.
Yeah, but you're trying your best. You are trying your best.
I can only try. But the point is to have the things available. Also, you can always do like yogurt, fresh, just normal yogurt. But what I also like to do in summer is to actually freeze yogurt in ice lolly molds. It seems like an ice cream. You take a vanilla yogurt and you freeze it in. You can get this like everywhere, like Clicks or Diskin. You freeze it in an ice lolly mold. It becomes really like almost like a treat.
Yeah.
You can even like mash up some fruit in or put some frozen berries in. And just kind of makes it into something that is still nutritious but nice for a treat.
And it's also very delicious.
Yes.
You know, the other thing I was going to ask you, Laila, often, you know, I know with maybe, you know, older students, you know, once you've written maybe a very, how should I say, challenging subject, you know, written the exam, something that was probably 2 hours long or even longer when it's in, you know, the kids are in varsity, and we come back and, you know, you've got this pounding headache because, you know, the night before you're probably up and late or you're cramming. And, you know, often, you know, you just want to just eat something to just make you feel full and make you feel better, but you have this headache that's not going away. It's obviously because of the lack of sleep and the anxiety and the stress.
And the hydration as well.
Yes, and the dehydration. So ideal that time, I'm guessing, would be drink lots of water.
Well, in general, one should obviously drink enough water. But usually kids are allowed to have water bottles during tests and exams.
Yes.
So it's just important to sort of sip regularly and make sure that they're drinking enough. I do think, though, that obviously one's got to look at the cause. So, you know, often one goes, oh, I'm so tired, I'm going to have coffee, whereas maybe just having more sleep would be the answer. Now, obviously, I know that's not always practical, but one can't ignore the value of something like a power nap.
Yes.
Actually, the child coming home from an exam and just resting for half an hour might be enough, rather than going, oh, well, now I've got to have something sweet or something greasy to make you feel better. It can possibly just, well, you're tired, so rest, you know. And I think it's so important to look at those links rather than going, you're tired, so ignore the tiredness, let's give you something to wake you up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're tired because you haven't had enough sleep, so rob sleep, you know.
Yeah, I'd rather get some rest instead of running to the fridge or, like we say, the cookie jar.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, when it comes again, you know, in the morning, sometimes to sugary cereals, especially with younger children, that's what they love, all these sugary cereals. You know, I mean, you're not going to get a very young child who's into high fiber right now unless they're obviously educated about it. Again,
sometimes
how...
my daughter has that, just say.
Again, how bad is that? You know, because obviously, you know, moms and dads, like we say, they always want the best for their children. And, you know, not everything that's advertised is always good for you.
Of course not. Of course. It is definitely a struggle. It's very, very challenging. It's very, very hard to manage from that point of view, because obviously we want our kids to eat. And yes, in theory, and I'm now not saying that it's a good thing, but in theory, it's better to have a sugar-coated cereal than nothing.
True, but not too often, eh?
Yes, exactly. So it's a difficult thing, because you go and give in that one time to that chocolate-coated cereal, but then what happens the next time? So if you can, a good strategy is to sort of, and if, assuming they insist on having something that is a sugar-coated cereal, try mixing it half-half. So you mix it with like a bran flake or something like that. Alternatively, what I find works really well with my kids, and I can't say that they are representative of everybody, but I often will cook oats with a fruit, so like an apple or even berries, or a pear, or whatever fruit is in season. I've used like every fruit before. You cook it together with the oats, it becomes like one of those flavored instant oats without having to use so much sugar, and it becomes something much more interesting and exciting than your normal average kind of bran flake cereal.
Okay, Laila, the other thing I just wanted to just touch on before we close off is, you know, like we mentioned in the beginning of the show, you know, children, whether it's, you know, young children or teenagers or even, you know, when once they're in varsity, they mirror the eating habits and body images of their parents. Now, you know, in a world where, you know, there's social media everywhere and there's advertising and the media glorifies a certain look, you know, size zero is not healthy. And, you know, that's very difficult for many women to comprehend that, you know, you don't need to be super ultra skinny to look beautiful. Beauty comes from within. But the thing is that, you know, especially with young girls, you know, teenage girls, if you're constantly watching your mother, you know, on a diet and she's always finicky about what she's eating, somehow you are going to adopt those habits and have that perception of your body. How dangerous is that in the long term?
It's you know, I mean, like, that is like a whole show itself.
No, which we will be doing soon. But I just want to touch on that very quickly because, you know, December is coming. You know, it is the holiday period. You know, when we with family, we do tend to eat a little bit more. I mean, now obviously, you know, if children were told that you can't eat all of these things while you're studying, but I mean, once the holidays come, you want to treat them. But you know, with January coming, a lot of times people say, you know, New Year and these are my goals and I want to eat healthy and I want to lose weight. But then again, do it in a healthy manner. So we will be doing that show, so I will be contacting you on that. But again, you know, mirroring the habits of your parents when it comes to body weight and eating healthy.
Yes, it is so hard, and I see it so often that a parent will be like, I don't understand why my child has a problem. But then you look at what they're seeing the parent do, and we can't assume, well, if the mother is doing the right thing, that, you know, it doesn't matter what the father's doing. The kids will notice what both parents are doing, and if they notice that the mother is, like, constantly on a diet, constantly talking about her weight, constantly saying that her clothes don't fit as they used to, constantly, you know, over-exercising, the child will pick up on that. And by the same token, if, say, they see the father eating unhealthily, you say, the father doesn't eat vegetables. I know it's a bit of a generalization, but there are many men who aren't that into vegetables. Then what lands up happening is that they will pick up on that as well. Well, daddy doesn't eat salad, why should I?
Which is true.
So it's very, very difficult from that point of view, and I've seen it very, very often. I did my master's on childhood body image in 8 to 9 year old girls. And I saw, for example, when I was doing the study, there was an 8 year old girl who said, the question I had to answer was, do you feel guilty after eating sweets? And she said, well, you know, us girls and chocolate. And I said, what about us girls and chocolate? So she says, it's a cure for a broken heart.
Oh, my word, and she's 8 years old.
No,
that was scary. And she's 8 years old. Yes.
Yeah, you're 8. And she said, I haven't, but my mom has had.
Yeah.
You know, it's those sorts of messages that are so, so easy for kids to pick up on.
Exactly.
Tricky. So the best thing to do is to not talk about your weight. If you have a weight issue, don't bring it up in front of your kids. Focus on eating healthy in front of your children and never, ever, ever comment on your child's weight in any context, positive or negative. Don't say, oh, you've got such a nice figure and your friend needs to lose a kilo.
Of course. I mean, that contributes to so many negative stuff. And again, if this child already has a negative self-concept and they're eating in this way and right now they're writing exams or they're faced with any challenging, you know, task in their life, they're just going to make it worse for themselves because they're obviously not eating right, they're not concentrating, and it's just going to lead to a whole lot of other problems and exam being the last one at that point in time. But like you said, that is a whole nother show, you know, parents and children's body image, which we will be discussing in the near future. Okay, Laila, you know, I can't thank you enough for sharing such balls of wisdom with us. You know, lots of things that we've learned, things we take for granted, but, you know, we must implement in our lives, in the lives of the children.
Sure.
Please share with us your contact details.
Sure. So my website address is www.lailabrook.co.za. That's LILABRUK.co.za. And then my landline number is 011-880-9156. I'll repeat that, 011-880-9156. And all my other contact details, email, et cetera, is on the website as well. I'm also on Facebook and Twitter, not that I use it that much.
Well, we look forward to hearing from you again. Like I said, there's so much to learn. You know, I know this week has also been Diabetic Awareness Week, and that's why we touched on a little bit about the diabetic child. But just before you go, one last message to the parents and to the students that are listening. One last quick message about eating healthy, not just during the exam period, but for life.
Yes. The most important thing I would say in an ideal world is if everybody ate when they're hungry, stopped when they're full, no one would have any problems in any respect. But to teach a child that, I think it's important to make sure that there are the healthy foods available, that there's enough fresh water available, that exercise is encouraged, which I know we haven't even mentioned, but to really focus on getting a balance and doing being the best example you can for your child as much as possible.
No, it's definitely. And having a chocolate once in a while is not a crime. It's okay.
Definitely not.
It's okay.
Yes, exactly.
Thank you so much, Laila. We look forward to speaking to you again.
Yes, I do too.
Thank you so much for joining us
on the
show.
Thank you.
And to our listeners, you know, lots of tips that we've picked up. Sometimes, you know, we may think a lot of what we've discussed is common sense, but it's not always that easy. We know for parents, it's very stressful. You may have more than one child. Every child has their own way of doing things. They have their own study methods. They have their own personality. They have their own eating methods. It can be very, very stressful for parents. And, you know, we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for you, because we know whatever exam your child is facing, it's a very stressful period for you as well. Lots of sacrifice from parents to ensure that their children get the best. A lot of sacrifice from students as well. So from myself, I would just like to say that may Allah make it easy for everyone that's on this journey. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant success to all our students. May Allah grant increase you in knowledge, wisdom and understanding. And inshallah, may all of you be successful in your madrasa exams, in your school exams, varsity exams, whatever it is that you are facing. So inshallah, I look forward to chatting to you again next week. From myself, Bibi Aisha Lahir, and my engineer Ziad, we wish you a good week, and please remember us in your du'as, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.